Hey, bats, kiddos, Joker here, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very special Fast Lane Predictions panel episode of the BCP. So super excited for this one to have our all-star stellar panel back. Please welcome back first. He is in the BCP OG original member, Cooker of Brisket. He is a writer for thepoprate.com, rocking the Shameless promo t-shirt. I love it. The anti-smart Mr. Matt Wittes. What's up, bro? How are you, man?
Doing good. Rocking the OG BCP tee.
Available now.
Available online. You have a phone in your hand. You can get one of these yourself.
Love it. TeePublic.com. Love the Shameless promo. We're all about it. And please welcome back to the show. And she does have the blue BCP shirt at home. You know her from Kimmy Talks Wrestling. You know her from RDP Promotions, talking to all the stars. She's killing it. The unbreakable Miss Kimmy Kazoo. Kimmy, what up? How are you?
Hello. I was going to wear my Bob Culture podcast if I wasn't in quarantine because it's back in my dorm.
Yeah,
so we got to act on the fly.
I didn't know if we were going to address that. But yes, Kimmy is... They locked Kimmy in some room. It's very empty, but I'm glad to have you here, Kimmy. I hope you're not like too lonely, and we'll have some fun talking about wrestling. And more importantly, you're healthy and you're safe.
Yes, I'm not the one who has COVID. My roommate does, but I am A-okay, guys.
Well, sending good vibes to your roommates for sure, who love doing the wrestling stuff with you or are learning from you. So that's good. All right, and making his debut, please welcome to the panel. You know him from commentary from our good friends over at Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their Ides of March show coming up, presented by the BCP, March 20th coming up. I believe that's tomorrow night on Fight Network. Please welcome to the show the host of the Rogue Opinions podcast, Mr. Jimmy Baxter. Jimmy, welcome. How are you, brother?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for having me so much. I'm so excited to sit down and talk about the big time grabs.
Yeah, man, absolutely. This is the big time. You know, I got to chat with you a little bit. You know, I'm getting my start on commentary. I got to chat with you a little bit over at the commentary booth at Pro Wrestling Magic. You guys do a phenomenal job. I enjoy all the talent. Everyone backstage is just great, which we need more of in this world. In this wrestling world, let's be real. So super to meet you. Tell everyone where they can watch and, you know, tune in a little bit about Ides of March tomorrow. Shameless promo.
Okay. Thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. So you guys can go over to your Fight app, Fight TV, and look up Pro Wrestling Magic. And our next show is tomorrow night at 8 p.m., the Ides of March. Big, big things going on. We have Saeed Al-Sabah challenging the Meadowlands Monster in an instant classic for the Pro Wrestling Magic Championship. We have Darius Carter and Erica Lee taking on each other in a rematch from what's being called the biggest match in Pro Wrestling Magic history. From way, way back, a card subject to change. Will Erica be able to come out as Dark Arts champion? Who knows? And then, of course, we have the cinematic, amazing cinematic expanse that is the Pro Wrestling Magic Tag Team Championship match, where Adam Payne and Wrecking Ball Ligursky take on the AMS, BCB, and just Chris Ryan with a partner of his choosing after what happened last month, where he survived getting demolished by Wrecking Ball Ligursky in 5 minutes and 2 seconds. So that's Pro Wrestling Magic on Fight, and also youtube.com/ Pro Wrestling Magic.
Love it, man. Checks in the mail. Appreciate it, man. And everyone check it out on Fight TV tomorrow. It's a good one. I can't wait. Erica, former guest of the show. Darius, Meadowlands Monster, former guest of the show. Check out those interviews. Good people. Great wrestlers. Sometimes Darius is kind of mean, though. But other than that, let's get into our
it's what makes him so great.
It does. It does, man.
Wait a second. So wait. You're telling me Darius Carter can be kind of difficult to deal with sometimes.
No comment. He was, you know what? He was nice to us. I'll give him that. I was a little nervous in the interview. Nice. He was nice to us, though. But he's been killing in the ring. No nonsense in the ring. That's why he's the champ right now. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But I digress. Let's get into our fast lane picks. And as always, we start with ladies first here on the BCP. So let's talk about that women's tag team championship match between Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, taking on the EST of WWE, Bianca Belair, and the boss, Sasha Banks. I see Kimmy shaking her head. So Kimmy, I'm going to throw it on. I'm tossing on the proverbial basketball over to you. What do you got?
Why? That is my word. Why? Okay. So first of all, we saw this match at like what, Elimination Chamber, and now we're doing it again for no reason whatsoever. Do we need Reginald in this? No. Why can we not just build this already amazing WrestleMania match without the tag team championship? Which is also why I don't understand why we brought in NXT women's tag team titles if they don't know what they're doing with the ones they have on the main roster. This is pointless. What is everyone doing? So if Shayna and Nia please retain, that's my prediction, there needs to be a fatal four-way or whatever at WrestleMania with Lana and Naomi, the Riot Squad, and another team, then have the Riot Squad win and do something with these titles.
Very interesting. And Kimmy, check her out, her review of SmackDown, or of your predictions for the Fastlane on your channel, and you called it what, the pointless pay-per-view
on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah. So I won't disagree with you. There's a lot of matches that are kind of head scratchers here, but I get it. You know, we're saving everything in the chamber, ready to go for WrestleMania. Let's throw it to the Annie Smart. Your thoughts on this match and who's coming out with the tag team titles? Oh boy.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just going to float this out there. Maybe somebody's listening. Something that might make a little sense. Sasha and Bianca win.
Okay.
Bianca goes on to WrestleMania, wins the title there. She is Bianca Dose Straps. She's got Bayley's, you know, tag team belt, you know, her championship belt, and her former tag team partner sets up a program for that. That is the only thing that I can see making sense out of this. It's a stretch. That's where I would go to try and save it. You drop the cake and just add more frosting. I mean, that's...
There it is. Interesting, man. Yeah, a lot of us are kind of like, this is a little bit of a head scratcher for me. Jimmy, your thoughts on this match?
Okay, so first and foremost, I just want to say Nia Jax burning a fire because she is awful. She's awful. I've said this on my podcast. I've said it everywhere across the planet. She needs to go back with Otis, go back to the PC, let Shayna Baszler be the monster killer woman that she was in NXT, have her go one-on-one with Asuka at WrestleMania, let those two ladies absolutely tear Raymond James Stadium down to the ground with one of the best women's wrestling matches on the planet that I can see. So take the belts off of them. Reginald, I love him. Thank God he's there, because hashtag Reginald for Cruiserweight Champion. He's the greatest thing to happen to sports entertainment in a very, very long time. Carmella made a huge mistake firing him. So I hope that Reginald ends up, you know, screwing them up. Maybe, you know, champagne bottles at the back of Nia's head, and Shayna's just like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm going to go kick someone else's teeth down their throat, and I'm going to WrestleMania. And I think and I hope that we get best friends, better enemies, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, the tag team champions going one-on-one at WrestleMania. That's the way it's got to be.
Very interesting. I do like that matchup potentially between Shayna and Asuka. That the real winners there, the fans, like we always say. That would be amazing, man.
The story writes itself.
It does. I would love to see that. That's a great point, man. I'll say this. It's confusing to me. First of all, I don't think you need to get Reginald involved in all this, but he is very fun and something very different. I just don't think he needs to be involved, and he's kind of jumping around, you know, from Carmella to Sasha to what, Nia and all that stuff. So it is kind of interesting.
He's
side story. Yeah. Right. You're not
James
wrong.
Champagne's worth.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wrong, man. But what I see them doing, it seems very similar to, what was it, almost like that Shawn Michaels Cena, where they had gotten the tag titles before they faced off, I think it was at WrestleMania for the WWE title. I see something similar maybe happening there. But I also see, you know, Sasha's kind of been in that, not tweener role, but she's been a little bit more face than she has been in the past. So I could just see her kind of walking out on this match. And, you know, Bianca did legit get pinned, which I was surprised to see. So I don't think you're going to see either of these ladies get pinned too much, but if Sasha walks out, you see Nia retain along with Shayna. That would be very interesting, and that kind of sets up a little heat between them. So I don't think they need to have the belts to lose them right before Mania, which seems like the obvious storyline. So I'm going to say Nia and Shayna retain here. I'm going to say Sasha kind of just like walks out on the match or something like that. So I'll go a different way. But let's move on to the next match. Let's talk about a match like we've seen coming for a long time. A lot of people thought this would be the WrestleMania match months ago. This is Sheamus taking on Drew. And Kimmy again making that. I get it. I mean, this one's fair. We've seen it a bunch of times, but this might be another placeholder match, a pointless match, as Kimmy said. Matt, let's throw it to you, man. Your thoughts on this one. I'm just going to go Drew. I don't see Drew losing here. If anything, I thought he was going to hold the title going into Mania so he would get that crowd reaction. And I'm not going to lie. I love to see Lashley with that title. He deserves it. Title looks great on him. And I think maybe Drew, I know we're fast-forwarding here, gets maybe that win at WrestleMania because he'll finally get that reaction that he didn't get the last WrestleMania. That's where I'm going with it. I think Drew can't lose here. Matt, your thoughts?
I will say I will be sorely disappointed if the only reason they got the belt onto somebody else, even if it's Bobby Lashley, who I love seeing with it, just to do what you're talking about, you know, get the reaction live that they didn't get before. You can't change the past. You have a good thing going now. I would like to see Lashley go further with it. But, yeah, this is fast lane, not roadblock. So I think we're seeing Drew go ahead with this. If they were going to stop Drew in his tracks, this would have been roadblock. Not from WCW Saturday Night 97 roadblock, the pay-per-view roadblock.
What a reference.
Oh, I love that reference. Guy. Part of this was just, all right, he needs a match. He needs a big win with a name person. Well, he's beaten Shane and this bunch lately. They're like the best of friends in real life. And if there's one thing we know, you know, Sheamus can do is just sit out there and be a base for the biggest guys in the world. He can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Very interesting. Jimmy, your thoughts on this one?
Okay, so for the most part, I'm going to have to say that this is pointless. We just saw them have a 30-minute match on Raw 2-3 weeks ago. And then we saw them go to a double DQ or like a no contest on Raw the following week. We've watched these guys beat the piss out of each other plenty of times. I'm okay with not seeing it because I think that it's basically just already written in stone. Drew McIntyre is going to go on to face Bobby Lashley. He's going to take the belt off Trashley, and then he's going to get the big crowd pop he didn't get last year. And don't get me wrong, I am happy for Trashley that he has a belt. I really, really am. But he's boring. And I liked the whole thing with The Miz and everything, but I think the Mania match is already set in stone, and Sheamus, unfortunately, is here just to take the pin one more time. And maybe Drew McIntyre turns heel just after WrestleMania, and the two of them end up teaming up or something. But, I mean, this is just a big one, you know, for Sheamus to just bite that bullet and take another pin.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kimmy, I see you laughing over there. What do you got?
I feel like every match I'm just going to say pointless. We've seen already. Why? So the last time we were here, I said, I'm like, you know, they should do Drew and Sheamus in a no DQ at WrestleMania. That would be great. You know when we saw that? Free TV on Raw. And there was not even a finish. I was so disappointed. WWE, please call me for creative tips because you clearly need some. So, obviously, wow. Drew's here to make, like, Sheamus is here to make Drew look strong to head into that WrestleMania match. I'm hoping that someone can cross the border from his farm in Canada to make this a triple threat match to make it a teeny tiny more interesting. Because Drew and Bobby, I know he's going to be trapped in Canada. I know. But to me, Drew and Bobby's not that interesting of a match. There's a reason the women are going to main event the first night and not Bobby and Drew. They're going to be the opening match on night one.
I think the biggest, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I think that the biggest victim of the whole, like, wrestling in the gym in front of nobody for 6 months, the biggest victim of that was Drew McIntyre, because he put on a hell of a show every single week, and then all of a sudden, Roman comes back and becomes the top guy again, and he's doing, like, untouchable work, and Drew McIntyre, he's not a mid-card champion, he's a slightly lower than top-card champion, and yeah, him versus Lashley, sure, might not be the biggest deal in the world, but they want that pop for him that he so deserves from last year. They want the pop for him, and if it's only 25,000 people, well, hey, that's 25,000 times more than he got last year, and I think he deserves it, and as a two transitional champions back-to-back, That's great. But please, oh Lord God in heaven, do not give me Brock Lesnar again. I am done with him. I get it. He's a monster. He can F5 cows on his farmland in Canada. Good. Stay up there with Sable. Do what you got to do. Let's bring on some new people.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But Kimmy, you think Drew obviously walks out of here. Drew doesn't take a pin here.
Yes, and then Sheamus is going to do, I have no idea, U.S. title ladder match? Sure.
Yeah, very, very interesting. We'll see how it plays out going into Mania. But, you know, I'm just really excited to see the fans down there, just to see that reaction more so for the performers. You know, NXT has some fans, but we've been doing the Thunderdome, which I think was really needed. They did a great job. Their production is phenomenal. You can't deny that, regardless of the booking and some opinions we may have as fans. But the production's great. But just to see the fans and fan reaction, I think the superstars will go that extra mile. You know, on the indies, we're lucky. We have, you know this, Jimmy, we have drive-in shows, limited capacity, outdoor, and everything's getting a little bit closer to normal or the new normal. So I'm excited just for that. So like you said, I think it's going to be more about that pop, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Like, they're just the crowd and the reaction. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to our next match featuring lay editor-in-chief of the popbreak.com's favorite of all time, the legend killer, Mr. Randy Orton. Of course, taking on one Miss Alexa Bliss in a very interesting, rare intergender match that we don't see typically too much in WWE. You know, we see it a lot on the indies. Of course, we have Erica taking on Darius. And I'm just very excited to see how WWE approaches this, because they usually tend to stay away from that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not an in-ring talent, but every time I talk to, you know, the superstars in the indies and stuff like that, they always say, hey, we train with the girls. We train with the guys. This is another day at the office for us, man. So I'm excited to see if this is going to be a wrestling match, if this is going to be a cinematic match. Are we going to have those supernatural elements? And more importantly, is this going to be the return of the Fiend? Let's start with Kimmy.
I'm going to burst your bubble real quick. This ain't going to be a match.
No.
It's not.
All right, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to lay it out for you. So ready? The Orton's going to come out. And then Alexa's not going to come out. And then everyone's going to be like, where's Alexa? Then the lights are going to go out. Then that stupid Jack in the Box is going to be in the middle of the ring. And then her, like, laughing or music or whatever is going to go off. And then, boom, the Fiend has returned from the burning death of whatever. So this is not going to be a match. The Fiend is coming back. Yippee-yay. This is setting up for, I don't know if it's going to be a Firefly Funhouse match, but I'm assuming this is going to be some type of stipulation at WrestleMania, but no match. Or DQ.
Interesting. And will it be like a new or third incarnation of a Bray or fourth or whatever, or the Fiend? That should be very interesting to see. Jimmy, your thoughts on this one?
I can't help but fully and utterly agree with Kimmy, because honestly, this is just going to be, and to quote they're not my friends, I've never met them, but to quote my friends over at Cultaholic, it is spooky bollocks for the sake of spooky bollocks, and I'm tired of it. You know what's going to happen? Kimmy, I see your bold prediction, and here's what I raise you. Orton's going to come out. Hey, nothing you can say. Yeah. The whole deal, right? He's going to have the sparklers, then the lights are going to go down, you know, fucking woo-hoo. Fucking scary Orton, fucking bleeding black, is gonna come out to like a really like old crazy remixed version of his new theme, and he's just gonna stand there, and then it'll cut back to Orton, who's in the ring too, and then they're gonna be like, oh my god, what's happening? And then all of a sudden the lights go out, and there's Bliss standing behind him, all like, I don't know. Yeah, wait, you know what she reminds me of? Like when you get like a cheerleader who first starts hanging out with the goth kids at first, and she's like trying out the whole I got black lipstick and stuff, and she's gonna be back there, and Orton's gonna be like, oh well, now that we're alone, now I'm gonna RKO you to death, and then he's gonna get mandible clawed by the Fiend until all the lights go out, and then there'll just be your figure, yes, you, Rob, your figure of Randy Orton will be the only thing left in the ring as we cut to a WWE shop commercial and act like none of this actually happened.
No, or the commentators aren't going to sell it at all. They'll be like, nope. I can't describe what we just saw. Let's move on to backstage.
It's your job, Vic Joseph. You big, listen, that big time and fuck. He has to start doing his job. He has to start doing his, he's in our Hall of Fame over on Rogue Opinions for the big time and fucks Hall of Fame. But he they got a cut to somebody who's not even on the Raw team, and they just go, like Titus O'Neil after the Firefly Funhouse last year, just WWE shot 15% off all titles until midnight. That's how that's gonna go.
Oh man,
all fiend gear on clearance now.
I can't, man. I can't. You know what? First of all, Big Joseph is my hero, but also, I'll say this: like, we try to call it right down the middle here, but I can see our anticipation. It's very tongue in cheek going into this pay per view. We see a lot of placeholders, and we call it like we see it here. I think we could have done a little bit more building up on the road to WrestleMania here, for sure. Matt, your thoughts
on this particular match?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm echoing everybody else out here. I mean, what are we gonna do here? Do we think this is gonna be if WWE is gonna start doing intergender matches? Are they gonna pick 6'5", 250-260 pound Randy Orton to take on 5 foot maybe, like 100 pound Alexa Bliss? He's gonna have to drop to his knees to hit an RKO. This is not. Why would you sign up for this match? If we're going to go kayfabe, it's like, yes, this match will go on. I will sign this. There will be no supernatural shenanigans. No, there's not going to be like blood raining from the sky and it misses me like they did with Vampiro on WCW. They're not going to do any of those things. Another callback. I had to do it. the lights are going to go off and, you know, guy in the clown mask is going to try and choke me to death. No, that's not going to happen. I'm going to go out there and beat up a little girl because, well, if anybody's going to do it, Randy Orton is going to do it. But it's just not, going to happen this time. He's got to beat up children on his own time, which I assume he does anyway.
Oh boy, it sounds like
this... younglings.
Yes.
Don't get me started on that. It seems like we're all going just no contest here. Return of the Fiend. If there is a winner, I'll say Bliss gets it, you know, in a shocking sort of fashion or supernatural fashion, I'll say. But it looks like a no contest. This isn't a match. This is the Return of the Fiend. Let's move on here. Let's talk about the IC title being defended by Big E, taking on a new look, new gimmick, Apollo Crews. I didn't actually see the promo that he did. I did read about it, though. So I'll ask you guys this. Thoughts on kind of like, I've been a fan of Apollo like since NXT. Like, obviously, it's taken a long time for him to get any sort of momentum. He had that U.S. title win. Now they're going a completely different direction. We'll have to see it play out. Regardless, I think Big E retains here, going to defend the IC title going into WrestleMania. Jimmy, your thoughts on this match?
I love Big E, first of all. Before I say anything about this match, I love Big E. I love that they finally made him go face, and he's on his own, and he's doing his own thing. But I think that this match has to come down to UHA Nation. All day, UHA, just he's finally got something to sink his teeth into. He can maybe drop the Wakanda accent a little bit because he was forgetting about it like midway through the promo. Like, I caught the promo, and he just kept sort of forgetting to hold on to it. And I get that he's like, oh, I put on this American accent to like appease everybody, and then that got me nowhere, yada, yada, yada. Whatever. I like the presentation. I love the spear. I love the guards. He's phenomenally talented. And as they said on Glow, the money is in the chase. They have had Big E do nothing but hang out with Apollo. And Apollo was the guy who ended up on Talking Smack, about a month ago? And Paul Heyman painted this picture of Big E, of all people, breaking into his house and doing things to his family. So why wouldn't you pick Apollo Crews here? You know, I think that this is the time for Apollo, that he's finally going to sink his teeth into something. He's going to come away with the victory, and then the money will be in the chase. We're going to get a rematch of this at WrestleMania. Hold on to your seats, folks. But it's what's going to happen, because they want all their faces to get big pops at WrestleMania, and Big E's going to get that pop at WrestleMania, I think, when he wins the title back in a few weeks.
Interesting. So you see a title change here. That's very, very interesting.
They've got to do something to keep me interested in these five matches they have, you know?
The pointless matches. So this would be the title switch here. That's very interesting. And it's funny you talk about the accent thing, because you see like Lana accent completely gone for a while until she was like, I'm going down. Except when she said Rusev, you know, it would be a normal sentence. And then when she said Rusev, the accent would
the
come
the only
back.
Word she remembered how to say with a Russian accent was Rusev. And yeah. That was it. Well, guys, I'm going to go down to the mall with Rusev. And it's like, that's not the way that works. It's one
yeah. or
the other.
Or like when Kofi, hey, didn't you used to have an accent? That was one of my favorite. Are you Jamaican? Hilarious.
Oh, yeah. What happened to your Jamaican accent?
Yeah, what happened to that? It's hilarious. Kimmy, your thoughts on Big E taking on the new Apollo Crews?
I just want us here to think about the SmackDown matches that they have right now, right? And they're like, except for the tag title match, like, they're interesting. Let's look at the mess on Raw. What the hell are we doing? How are these shows written by the same person? Anyway, I like heel Apollo. I talked about this on my prediction show. I feel like, you know, they tried so long to make him a face because he is super talented and like nothing was working. So this is definitely something new. This is definitely something that it could work. But I don't see Big E losing just because I feel like he needs to look strong in his first ever singles match at WrestleMania against I don't know who. I mean, my friend yesterday also pitched like the ladder match idea, kind of like what they did for WrestleMania 31 or 32, how it kicked off the show and really like set the pace for the pay-per-view, which I would love to see because I feel like you have so many people on SmackDown that you could put in that position. So I'm going with Big E.
I like that. I like that ladder match idea a lot. I see a Sammy, a Mysterio, maybe even a Dominic in that match. Very good stuff, Kimmy. Matt, what do you got for this one?
I am now sold on the idea of Apollo Crews going over to make the WrestleMania match. Because who else do you build in the next? Mind you, we've seen them do it in 2 weeks between pay-per-views. But who else do you build that we are going to give a shit about in the next couple weeks to get there? And why are you doing, let's just say what it is. They took a risk with this gimmick. This could have get Apollo Crews is making it work. Apparently is getting a lot of support, more support than detractors. But that was the accent on top of it. That was really what kind of made it, but that's, it was some rough territory. But now that it's here and it's working, you run with it and you have him lord that belt over Big E for like a month. And then enough is enough. Big ending. What is it? 25,000 people all explode out of their seats. And then we go on to the next chapter of Big E.
Interesting. Really good stuff, guys. That's why you're here. We'll throw this one out here. I think they scrapped this from what I heard. This whole Strowman taking on Shane McMahon. Oh, boy. A lot of faith. it's like that scene from The Naked Gun where everyone just...
You're going to need something stronger than that.
Did they? I think they scrapped it, right?
I hope they did.
There's some very... I mean, they legit kind of had a match with, like, the Nickelodeon Green Slime.
I get they got a cease and desist letter from You Can't Do That on Television.
Wow. Kimmy, that was a show. No,
I was going to say, I'm glad Kimmy laughed. She was a zygote when that movie was on the air.
It was very interesting. Like, what is going on here? Like, the segments were very odd. Like, I guess Shane was trying to make Strowman look stupid, but... I thought Shane was like, and no offense, like I'm not trying to knock him, but I thought like he forgot his lines for a while and it was very awkward, but then I guess it was by design. And then they have the Nickelodeon Green Slime and he kind of just beats up Strowman. It's very strange. All of this is just very, I mean, bizarre world and strange to me. I think they scrapped it or it's going to happen at Mania. Are they trying to, like, there's a lot of stuff about like, are they trying to like not bury Strowman, but like something's going on there. Like, any thoughts on this? And do we even entertain a prediction here? Or
why? That's where I'll start. Why? So I was like, you know what? They're moving to Peacock. That's how you get people to watch the pay-per-view on Peacock. Shane McMahon. That's the only reason they're going to do this.
Okay.
But then they scrapped it, apparently. And I'm like, yes, thank God. Because no one wants to see Shane McMahon wrestle. Because first of all, his promo 2 weeks ago sucked. It went on for way too long. And basically... ruined Raw. Obviously, Vince was upset that no WWE superstar was invited to the KCAs, so they're like, you know what? We're going to steal your slime. Here you go. Whatever. So if we see this at Mania, I'm going to be really mad, because you can do so much with Strowman, and you're not doing anything with him. The only relevant thing he's really done in his career was hold the IC title for like a month and then beat Goldberg at Mania because Roman decided not to go to Mania because of COVID. So please do something with Strowman. He's actually really good. Thanks, WWE. You're a real one.
Wow. All right.
Braun Strowman has been nothing but a disappointment since 2017. When he stopped flipping ambulances and telling people that he wasn't done with them yet and stuff, he's been looking like a goddamn gardener for the last 4 months. Like, this just looks like the world's sweatiest man, Shane McMahon, has come out to yell at his gardener. And then he brutalized him on television. Now, let's put this in perspective. 51-year-old Shane McMahon, the best in the world, with the best rabbit punches in the world, took on and defeated, on television, a man who is practically twice his size, who used to compete in strongman competitions for the lulz. And honestly, if they have to hold it off to WrestleMania, I'm down with it because there's a pirate ship in that stadium. And if there's anybody, if there is anybody, ladies and gentlemen, who is going to walk that plank and create a WrestleMania moment, it's your boy Shane O'Mac. with all the sweat, with all the rabbit punches, with all the and everything. And then all that's going to happen is Braun Strowman's going to pick him up, slam him down, and then we're going to get a Braun, and then he's going to run away. And then that's it. So I think even though Braun has been a disappointment, this will be the beginning of a new ascent for the Monster Among Men. So he stops tagging with children and tagging with Adam Pearce, and he gets one over on a McMahon. I think that's what we do here. We hold it off. Maybe they have a couple backstage promos. Maybe we see him come on screen and he's got the slime all dried to his body because he hasn't like washed off the shame yet. And he's just like, where is Shane? Or whatever. And that's like half the show. And I'll be down with that.
Yes, it's very interesting. And I'll say this. KO has secured that jumping off the ship spot at last year's WrestleMania. So we'll see if he actually gets to do it. Obviously, things got changed. It was in the PC. And more importantly, can we just bring back Nicholas undefeated? The streak lives on. 1-0. Nicholas coming back. Tag with Braun Strowman. Let's make it happen.
Nicholas is going to go to AEW in a few years. And it's going to be him versus -1 at Double or Nothing 2027. Mark my words, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be for the AEW World Championship. It's going to happen. Heard it here first.
I am in. I'm a fan.
Marco Stunt now.
There you go.
Marco Stunt Special Enforcer because he's technically a little bit bigger than them. So I love Marco. I've hung out with Marco. Good guy. Great guy. He'd be excellent in that match. Excellent.
All about the name drops. Keep them coming, Jimmy. We're all about the name drops.
Oh, I got name drops for days, buddy.
Let's keep them coming, man. I love it. But and big fan of -1, not only in the ring or as a manager, but his commentary is pretty good. I'm sitting here taking notes. So the shut up Excalibur is my favorite, one of his signature lines right there, but I digress. Let's move on. Kimmy, I'll throw this to you real quick. Another hypothetical. Is your boy the Messiah, Seth Rollins, having a match against Cesaro here? Nothing's announced. And if so, is Cesaro getting the win? I know he's your boy. I don't see the Seth Rollins stand in the background today because
it's at my
house. How did you not move that? That wasn't the first thing you moved?
No, it's at my house. I'm not allowed to bring it to college. Okay. My roommate said they would burn it if I brought it here.
They would burn it down?
Oh. Yes. So I've taught them well. So I actually don't see it against Cesaro at Fastlane. If anything is going to happen in SmackDown in about 20 minutes, we are going to see him versus Shinsuke Nakamura because they had a stare down at SmackDown last week. I don't know why. I guess Shinsuke's mad that Rollins is beating up his buddy who has no potential. But, you know, I didn't say that. Rollins did. And then we see Rollins and Cesaro at WrestleMania. And then Cesaro's going to win. And I'm going to be really upset. And then Cesaro is going to wrestle Roman Reigns at whatever the next pay-per-view is after WrestleMania for the title. And Rollins is there to put the younger guy over, like the good man he is. Embrace the vision, folks. Embrace the vision.
Wow, Kimmy, the number one Rollins disciple on the planet. Guys, any thoughts on Cesaro taking on Seth hypothetically? Does Cesaro get a big win over Seth, whether it be at Fastlane or Mania? Jimmy, any thoughts on this one?
I mean, I hope they do Rollins versus Cesaro. I mean, I've been a big supporter of Cesaro for a really long time. And when it comes to Rollins, I don't know. He just seems like he can't quit Murph, you know, like him and Murph, you know, they're just like, I don't know. I think they need to come back together. And I think that he needs to start building that stable out again that they never really took the time to really define. So now it went from being, I'm going to cosplay as the Hitman to I'm going to get a weirder and weirder suit on television. And honestly, the best moment on WWE TV lately for me has been when Cesaro swung him out of his jacket while Seth had the mic in his hand, and he was just like, wait, no, put me down. It was fantastic. I hope that they have a match, because you give those guys 20 minutes, they'll blow the roof right off of the Thunderdome, and it'll be super fun to watch. And it'll be like, anyone remember, I think it was Stomping Grounds lasted 2 years ago, and it was Murphy versus Aleister Black, and they wrestled for like 10 minutes, but they kicked the crap out of each other, and everyone was like, yes.
Like, I'm sorry, Aleister who? I don't recall. Okay, so now.
He had one eye for a really long time.
And no,
he
no, no.
It's and one of my favorites. Somebody did knock on his door, and then he wasn't there. Oh. His wife left because she wanted to do Twitch instead of wrestling. You know, that whole thing. But no, I think that we could have like a sleeper sort of like almost takeover style, but main roster takeover style, like just sort of good contest between the two of them. I hope it happens, but it's WWE. The bar is quite low for my anticipation. Wow. On that one. Hey, they haven't done a lot over the last few years to like make me go, oh, this will be really good. And then when it happens, I'm like, oh, it's The Fiend versus Seth Rollins in Saudi Arabia. Oh, okay.
We don't talk about that. I was in class watching that match as it happened, and let's just say there was some screaming at the end of class.
Just saying.
Wow. We got some real talk here. And first of all, big Aleister Black guy, but we'll see how that all plays out. Aleister's All Elite. Who knows? Matt, any thoughts on Rollins taking on Cesaro, hypothetically?
Well, you know, if they do have, I mean, they've only got 5 confirmed matches for this card. So if they're going to do it, that would be the one to make. Because if there's any two guys you can grab at random to throw together in a match, grab two of them from that classic ROH roster and they'll put on the show. They'll do a great job. And yeah, they do it. I do see Cesaro going over. I do see them, you know, starting to build him. And if anybody's going to, you know, give him that rub, Seth Rollins is probably the first one in line.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That could be a really good, like, show-stealing kind of match if they do it right. I just want to see that no-hand airplane spin that I waited how many years for him to break out on TV. I think he did that Mania last year or something. I'm trying to remember.
Gulak. He did it in the opening of night one of WrestleMania against
my Durant. Man. This guy, no, this is why you're here. Jimmy making an impact already. But let's move on to our, what I would assume be the main event of this one. Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, taking on Daniel Bryan. They've done everything they could to kind of make a story out of this, showing, you know, Daniel Bryan has one last run in him, a little bit of heat with Edge, which I think is very interesting because, you know, those two, man, that could have been a great match. Just D-Bry taking on Edge. You know, they both came back from injury. They both, you know, have been in each other's shoes in a lot of ways. And Edge, you know, kind of, you know, expanding through that generational gap. It's just, it makes so much sense. This match is cool. Like, a lot of people predicted this as the WrestleMania match. D-Bry taking on Reigns. Reigns is red hot. He's been doing everything right. There's no way Reigns loses here. And if anyone disagrees, feel free to jump in, but I'm just going to say Reigns retains here, going on to WrestleMania, obviously, to face Edge. Maybe some interference by Edge in some form or fashion. He'll definitely be at ringside. Kimmy, your thoughts?
We are going to make that WrestleMania main event into a triple threat match, my good friend.
Kimmy!
This is what is going to happen. Are you ready? So Edge is going to be the special enforcer. He is going to win his match against Jey Uso in about 2 hours. He is going to screw Daniel Bryan. And this is exactly what's going to happen. He's going to have the white towel in his hand. Roman Reigns is going to, like, put that submission on Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan's like, no, I don't give up. I don't give up. I'm Daniel Bryan. And he's going to throw that white towel and cost Daniel Bryan the match next Friday. Why would you do that? After all the injuries you've been through, you're the one who's going to give up on me. No way. Make it easy. Put Bryan in that. Make that triple threat match, that main event of night two. Bryan is only going to be in this match to take the pin or the submission at WrestleMania, because you can't have Edge lose here just because he just came back and he won the Rumble. You got to make him look strong. And of course, you're really going to have the head of the table lose. That would be kind of bad. So we are making it into a triple threat match. So you kind of do get your dream match in a way, just with one extra head of the table to make it even more special.
I can't argue with that. Good stuff, Kimmy. That's why you're here. Oh, round of applause for Mr. Jimmy Baxter. Jimmy, your thoughts? Do you copy and paste here?
I copy and paste, but, you know, whenever you steal someone else's homework, you do have to try and make it your own. So allow me to expunge a little bit. I think that Roman Reigns does lose the title during that triple threat match with Daniel Bryan and Edge. Edge does win the title, but then he gets his one-on-one rematch with him in the following month because he'll be like, oh, I'm at the head of the table and I didn't take the pin, so this is my title. And Paul Heyman's like, yes, Roman, absolutely, anything you say. And then they have the match there, and then, of course, Roman just, you know, like Superman punches Edge's face all the way to the back of his skull, and then he gets the title back for, you know, you don't want to give Edge the title for too long, I don't think. You want to make him, you know, sort of try and lift other people up a little bit. But I think that if we have another WrestleMania where the Rumble winners sort of, I know Drew won last year, but I feel like you got to have one of them win. You got to have the guy win sort of almost every year so it doesn't devalue the Royal Rumble. And that's like the one match stipulation they haven't totally shit the bed with yet. Looking at you, Hell in a Cell. Just saying. The camera on the inside just bothers me to no end for some reason. I mean, it looks great, but it's red. But so the thing is that I think Roman will lose the title at Mania. He's had the belt for a really long time. I think that he won't lose to Bryan, but I think Jay will be the one who gets involved, giving Daniel Bryan a reason to be there. The last time Daniel Bryan was in a triple threat at WrestleMania, he had the Miracle on Bourbon Street. They can talk about that all goddamn night on commentary. And then in the most heartbreaking moment of all time, he's got the guillotine on, and then all of a sudden, on this day, he just runs in and spears impalers for everybody, and then he runs out. We have the Rated R Superstar back in full effect because Edge is such a good heel that keeping him as a good guy, regardless of what he came through, is a dumb, dumb, dumb idea, and they just need to make him a bad guy. And the way that you do that is by having him murder Daniel Bryan in cold blood and just have it happen. Have it happen, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, that was some pretty good alter bridge there, my friend. Very well done, sir.
No, stop it. Stop it.
Let's throw it to the head of the table at the Wittes household. Danny Smart, what do you got on this one?
First off, I hate you both for saying what I was going to say, but saying it better.
Add to it.
My variation is that there's no towel or anything. Edge is going to straight up slip in when Daniel Bryan's doing well and spear the shit out of him. Of course, you know, referee's not looking at that particular moment. And then Roman gets the win because Edge is upset with Daniel as well. Friction, you're not the one I want to beat. I want to beat this guy. And then he doesn't. But that's that's how I see tonight going down.
Yeah, it should be very interesting moving forward. I mean, hopefully they have some surprises for us at Fastlane and more so makes WrestleMania a better show. But guys, thank you so much for your time. But before we get out of here, we're all about the shameless promo here on the BCP. Kimmy, let's throw it to you. Tell everyone about Kimmy Talks Wrestling, RDP Promotions. I know you're not going to be there because you're under quarantine. So obviously, you know, stay safe over there. Hope you're doing well. And I know you can't give Charlie a ring pop for me tomorrow. I was going to kind of propose, but I guess it's not happening. But tell everyone about the Charlie Caruso signing.
All right. So if you've been reading the news, Charlie Caruso looks like she's going bye-bye.
And she'll be fine. She'll be
and
great.
She's going to ESPN. So if you want to see Charlie Caruso sign some autographs and sell some of her WWE like dresses and outfits and stuff that she has worn, make sure to check out East Coast Autograph Auctions on Facebook from, I believe we start at 11. Charlie Caruso will be signing in studio with RDP Promotions, and hopefully he won't, like, he'll be happy I plugged him here because, you know, he always yells at me when I don't plug him on the show. But sticking back to me, obviously, in the YouTube name, I just talk about wrestling, AEW, NXT, WWE, and all that, and we're on the road to WrestleMania, so we got so much content to create. So make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel, Kimmy Talks Wrestling. Follow me on Twitter at Kimmy_WWE, and on Instagram at Kimmy Talks Wrestling. And yeah, that's really it for me. And hopefully I survive in quarantine, because this room is huge, and I'm a tiny-ass person.
I just see you being like Kevin in Home Alone, like running around with popcorn and jumping on the bed and... Enjoy it while it lasts, Kimmy, and stay safe and healthy over there for sure. Let's throw it to the Annie Smart. Tell us a little bit about what you do on PopBreak.com, and more importantly, my favorite, the secret recipe to the best brisket. No, don't give away the recipe, but tell everyone they can follow you on Twitter and see all those great meats that you cook.
Okay, yeah. If you want to see pictures of my meat, that so far is still allowed to be done on Twitter in my style, at AAntiSmark. That's AntiSmark with two A's. But even just as compelling, you can read my reviews of music, movies, wrestling at Pop Break. And of course, here on the BCP.
Love the plug. That's what it's all about. And plugging the tees, available now on tpublic.com. Jimmy, tell everyone where they can follow your podcast, follow you on socials. And one more quick plug for Magic. Why not? It's going to be a great show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So sit back, strap in real quick, because I got a few things to throw at you, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jimmy Baxter, and I have plenty to talk to you about on Twitter. That's at Mr. Riot, M-R-R-I-0-T, because Counter-Strike was a thing when I was a kid. And if you go over to Twitter while you're over there, go and check out at Wrestling Magic. That's where you're going to find out all the promotional material for this lovely little company right here called Pro Wrestling Magic that you can hear me scream about the graps every month over on Fight. Our next show is March 20th. Tomorrow, actually, March 20th at 8 p.m. And we have a killer card that I ran down at the beginning, plus much, 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 much more. Pro Wrestling Magic is also on YouTube, youtube.com/Pro Wrestling Magic. And for my podcast, the podcast where we come up with insane pay-per-views, we do a tournament of superhero movies when we feel like it. We just sort of do whatever we want and say what we want, and that's at @Rogue_Opinion. That's me and a bunch of my friends over from the UK shooting the shit, having a really great time. And we're going to create our own WrestleMania, I think, just before WrestleMania comes out. So go and check out all the stuff in the archives. We also have a whole series of interviews just before last month's Pro Wrestling Magic show, where we talked to some of your former guests. We had Meadowlands Monster. We had Erica Lee, Darius Carter, and of course, a two-parter with Mr. Shane Fair, who is the love of my life. I love him so much. That'll, I think, do it for me. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope I did you well when you see Ides of March with my plug over at the commentation station. I hope I did you well.
I'm all about the shameless plugs, but I do appreciate you, everyone at Pro Wrestling Magic. Again, guys, tomorrow, March 20th, Fight TV, 8 p.m. EST. Charlie Caruso signing tomorrow afternoon, March 20th at East Coast Auctions, RDP Promotions. And guys, like we always say here, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.